today as we come to the table.
He says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Again, they've always been around. What he said is you're going to start to see contractions of increasing wars and rumors of wars, dying down, increasing wars. I believe we're in a good Braxton Hick right now, right? You look at what's going on with Syria on Israel's border. You look at what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. You talk about rumors of war. You look at China threatening Taiwan. You look at China and Russia threatening America and America threatening them. There's all kinds of wars and rumors of wars going on all over the planet right now. We could talk about the wars in Africa. We could do a whole teaching on it. It's everywhere. Those are some of the more prominent ones. But again, you're going to see this take place, he said. Don't be shocked by that.
Our world is full of confusion. I suppose it's been that way long before you and I were around. But boy, doesn't it seem extra confusing these days? As Pastor Mark teaches today, you'll learn the Lord warned us of this. In fact, our life as believers will be full of sorrow while we walk this earth. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Remembering that we're in a fallen world and our home is not here, and also remembering that God works all things for the good of those who love Him, Pastor Mark reconciles why our sorrow can be endured with hope because of Christ. A better day is on its way, and He's allowing us to be a part of His plan. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. As he continues his message, The Beginning of Sorrows.
We have to watch for deception because there will be deception in the last days. And so we already discussed that. He says, for, and he begins to talk about what that deception will lead to. Look at this. Many, and that's emphasized in the language, many will come in my name saying I'm the Christ, and they'll deceive many. Again, have we seen Braxton Hicks of this throughout history? Absolutely. The last 2,000 years. It's gotten more and more intense as we've gotten closer, but guys, recognize this. And this would have been very recognizable and very stark to the disciples. Up until this point, no one in the world had ever claimed to be the Christ or a Christ. No one. They're hearing this going, nobody's ever claimed to be the Christ. No one's ever claimed to be a Christ. Look around today. It's all over the place. We have had so many people for the last 2,000 years pop up on the scene. The most recent one for us would probably be David Koresh, claiming that they're the Christ. You're going to see more and more of that. But we have massive numbers of people saying they are a Christ. As you guys know, may know or may not know, Tracy and I lived for 7 years. We were there married 7 years. She was there longer. But in Santa Fe, New Mexico, it is a bastion of New Age spirituality. Again, by the way, Asheville's becoming the same thing. But it's this whole thing where they all believe, not all of them, but a big portion of them believe they can be God, or that they are God, or that they're a Christ, or a part of the Christ consciousness. This is exactly what we're seeing. We talked about the World Economic Forum. Noah Yuval Harari, this guy that everybody looks to as the prophet of the World Economic Forum, he says we can not only be like God, he says we're going to be greater than God. So the same lie from the Garden of Eden, but you're going to see more and more of this the closer we get to the end. He said, be aware of this. You're going to have it. Now we have, of course, Hindus, New Agers, everybody claiming that they can be a God or they can be a Christ. It's pervasive even in Hollywood today. He says, you're going to see this. They weren't seeing this in the Lord's day. This was something that had never happened. So this is recognized. This is new to our to recent history. And he goes on and says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, there's three things I want to break this verse up into. We're going to do the first and last and then the middle part. But notice what he says. He says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Again, they've always been around. What he said is you're going to start to see contractions of increasing wars and rumors of wars, dying down, increasing wars. I believe we're in a good Braxton Hick right now, right? You look at what's going on with Syria on Israel's border. You look at what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. You talk about rumors of war. You look at China threatening Taiwan. You look at China and Russia threatening America and America threatening them. There's all kinds of wars and rumors of wars going on all over the planet right now. We could talk about the wars in Africa. We could do a whole teaching on it. It's everywhere. Those are some of the more prominent ones. But again, you're going to see this take place, he said. Don't be shocked by that. You know, we have armed ourselves to the teeth. And some of you might say, hey, this isn't very encouraging. You talk about wars and rumors of wars, you know, what's going to happen? Listen, I believe we're so armed to the teeth that it actually makes us safer. Now, I know that sounds crazy. They used to talk about mutual destruction or whatever, where everybody was afraid to attack each other with nuclear weapons because you knew you would get destroyed as well. By the way, the Bible makes it clear, we're not going to wipe the world out with nuclear war. So if any of you are losing sleep because you think the world's going to be wiped out by nuclear war, you're not. As a matter of fact, we're going to make it all the way through the Great Tribulation and the Lord comes back and mankind will still be here. That doesn't mean there may not be a limited nuclear device. I can't say that. But we're not going to wipe out mankind. God's not going to allow that to take place. And because we are so armed to the teeth, it actually makes us safer in some ways. Because again, you talk about, well, everybody's afraid of destroying each other. The technology has gotten to such a point that the Russian submarines, we can't find them anymore. They have a new technology that's silent. And they literally, the Russian nuclear subs could literally drive into New York Harbor and we wouldn't know it. Thank you, Mark. I feel very good now. I'm going to sleep great, right? And we used to worry about that. Well, they could launch from right there and just hit everything right there and we wouldn't know it. We couldn't respond. Well, we've got ways to respond away from this, from other places, bunkers and away from the nation. They wouldn't even try that now because of brand new technologies. I don't care where you park your sub or what you do. If anybody moves on America, they know they're going to be a dust ball. You know, it's interesting to share one of the recent discoveries technologically that we don't really even know what it is, but the military has now agreed to it, or admitted it, if you will. People began noticing giant tracks on the bottom of the ocean. And some of them, well, is that real? So they began to take satellite pictures, and scuba divers went down and began to actually find it. So finally, the military had to say, yeah, this is real. We're really doing this. Here's a picture right here of this. It's hard to see because it's purple. This is a satellite picture through the ocean, but look at that part down the middle. Those are tracks, and they're like tank tracks. And by the way, those tracks, they're 2 miles apart. So whatever they're transporting down there, in other words, warfare is not only above ground. What they're saying is warfare is now under the water. And according to some military analysts, there's much greater fear right now on what's under the water for our enemies than what's on top. Said aircraft carriers and subs, that's not their main concern. What's going on under the ocean? That's what they should be concerned about. But we don't know what it is. Now, that's pretty daunting, but here's the point. Thank you, I'll rest well. No, you should. You should. Here's why. When the whole world, evil as well, when they understand I can't live if I do something, nobody does anything. So the fact that the technology has reached a point to where we could wipe each other out so quickly, so instantly, and nobody can stop it, guys, that actually is a point of rest. Not to mention the fact that the Lord said he holds all things together. He's going to be the one that controls everything. But you're going to hear more and more of wars, more and more of rumors of wars, more, as they say, saber rattling, people challenging each other. And he says, these things have to come to pass, but the end is not yet. That is, these are going to happen leading up to the rapture. But then after the rapture, you're going to see the great tribulation. So these are the signs that the rapture is near, not that the very end is near. And notice what he says, see that your heart is not troubled. Again, this is not to scare you. God's in control. Nobody's pushing any button. Nobody's doing anything without God's approval. The Bible's very clear on that. He controls all things. The Holy Spirit is the one running the show, not the militaries of the world. And so, again, don't let your heart be troubled. And if your heart is troubled today by this, you need to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, my heart's not in the right place. Because either I don't fully understand your promises that you're the one that's protecting us, and you're the one holding all things together, and that I know I'm going to be in the kingdom, and I know I'm coming back with you for 1,000 years on this earth, or whatever the reason is, you need to take that to the Lord and say, get my heart in line with you. This is a time, guys, not to be freaking out and afraid. This is a time to be excited. Not excited about death and destruction. We all hate that. But he said, when you see this, I'm about to put an end to all death and destruction. We're about to do away with wars. We're about to do away with death. We're about to do away with injustice. It's all going to be made right. And that's why we get excited. So see that your heart is not troubled. And now he goes into more detail about this. Look at verse 7. He says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. Now, this is interesting in the language. Notice, for nation will rise against nation. It's literally ethnos will rise against ethnos. We would say racial group will rise against racial group in the last days. That is, you're going to see the Palestinians and the Jews having greater tension. You're going to see China and Taiwan having greater tension. You're going to see white and black in America having greater tension. You're going to see Hindu in China, in America, Chinese people having greater tension. You're going to see all the people we call races. However, the Bible teaches how many races? One. You know, if the world grasped that, it would do away with what we call racism. It wouldn't do away with hate because people are hateful and we're fallen sinners. But you can't have racism if we all are one race because that means we all hate ourselves. If you hate some other race, you're hating yourself because you're the only race that exists. You're called the human race. Now, I recognize there are different ethnic groups. We know that. Satan knows how to manipulate those. But when I see the tensions rising among the Jew and the Palestinian, among the white and the black, when I see these tensions, I just go, we're right on track. I don't rejoice at it. It grieves my heart. It's wrong, and it has no place in the church because we are God's people, and we love each other, and we love even the lost, much less someone that comes from a different ethnic background. It shouldn't be something that even has to be taught in the church. It is caught by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is God working through us. But the reality is, Satan knows how to manipulate mankind. He knows how to get people, oh, you're different than them. Oh, you don't like them because of whatever. And he's manipulating the world. What Jesus is saying is you're going to see more and more of this manipulation among ethnic groups as we get closer to the end. So you're seeing the Braxton Hicks, I believe, in the streets of America and around the globe in the last couple of years, Braxton Hicks. Maybe even a contraction. We don't know how far along we are. There's going to be more. And I don't say that with a rejoicing heart. I just know the word of God. And I know it's going to be like a woman in birth pangs. So it's going to rise. It's going to go back down. We're kind of in a lull right now. It's going to rise up again. And then it's going to come back down. And finally, it's going to just come to a crescendo where God takes us out of here. And this whole end times last 7-year process begins with the Lord. Notice what else? Kingdom against kingdom. We see that already. Again, just we talked about that with nations turning against each other and fighting against each other and all that goes with that. And there'll be famines. Now, let's look at these individually, each one here. Famines. Has anybody seen anything about famines in the news? I think we're in a Braxton Hick, and we're seeing the beginning of it. It's a small thing. People are talking about it. It may turn into a contraction. Don't freak out. First of all, we're extremely blessed in the nation that we're in because our nation will probably never truly have starvation. We will certainly have deprivation. We'll be deprived of things. We find things we can't get. Things we were used to be able to go to the store and buy, you can't just go and buy. Prices are going out the roof. I mean, the bottom line is it's going to happen everywhere, but if there's ever a place in the world where you're going to be the safest from starving to death, it's America. But think about all the other nations when the food supply begins to drop, and it will. You see, when what's going on with Russia and Ukraine and they can't get the grain out and what's happening with all the droughts and the famine right now, it's delayed reaction. The things that we have now are things that were grown a long time ago. Now, when those things don't show up, there's not going to be anything to replace them. You're going to see worldwide famine. And again, it'll start out as Braxton Hicks. It'll move into contractions. But we don't freak out about that because God has made a promise to the believer. God said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. And God throughout history has supernaturally provided his believers food. Think about Jacob and his family. They're in the middle of the desert, and God sends a 7-year famine and drought to the Middle East. And they live there for 2 more years in the midst of that drought and have plenty to eat. Now, they eventually move where God provides for them another place. But the reality is God will be faithful to take care of his people. So you can sleep at night. God's going to be faithful. Yes, we're wise. We all know that. But you don't have to panic, but we're going to see this stuff happen. By the way, our food supplies are getting hit even more. I think even right now by environmental terrorism, I think is going on. Now, that you're not hearing that in the news, and nobody's determined that yet. But I look at this, and I go, listen, there are some radical environmentalists that think that animals are destroying the planet. They talk about the gases that come from the cattle, and they say that it's destroying the ozone. Listen, would God create a source for mankind and an animal that would destroy the planet he created? Of course not. And yet, there's this mindset that somehow the cows are going to destroy the earth. Listen, I kid you not. Just this past week, go look it up. Prince Charles is proposing that we have all cattle wear masks. Now, I'm not kidding. It's a filter on it. They're saying not only do the gases pollute the environment, but their breath is polluting the environment. I think we could order some of those gas for some masks for some of our friends, couldn't we? But anyway, I'm kidding. But either way, so they're wanting to put masks and how they're going to keep them 6 feet apart, I don't know. But either way, they want to do this. It's just gone nuts. Again, the Bible said this will happen in the last days. Again, maybe you've noticed in the news, there have been some, in the last few months, some 20-some food plants that have caught on fire and burned down. Has anybody noticed that in the news? Does anybody find that odd? Why are food plants burning down in the nation? Oh, it's just chance. It's coincidence. No, it's not. This is way beyond the statistics of chance. Now, do I believe it's some conspiracy and the government's burning them down? No. But I think it probably, if we get to the root of it, it's what I would call radical environmentalists. They believe this is hurting the planet, hurting the environment, and the best way, if you want to make the air cleaner, is start a fire. But anyway, so they're burning all these things. They think this through, I'm sure. But now you saw last week in Kansas, some 10,000 cattle died. I think they were killed. Why do I say that? They're saying the heat. Oh, it got over 100 degrees. Have you ever been to Texas? Has anybody been to Egypt, the Middle East? A cow doesn't die when it gets over 100 degrees. Why would 10,000 die at once? My guess is whether they release this or not, if somebody does it, that probably I think these animals are being poisoned. Now, I don't have evidence on that. I'm not making some of that. I'm saying it's a thought because it's too dramatic. Well, these kind of things, if this continues to go, if those that have that kind of rabid environmentalist mindset continue to do these kind of things, that's going to add to the whole problem of the famine. It's only making it worse. Which, by the way, some of the most radical environmentalists, when you read their documents and papers, they want to kill off the whole planet because they said the planet should be without people so it can thrive. I joke you not. I'm thinking, thrive for who? Or what? You know? I mean, anyway, I'm going to waste time getting sidetracked on that. But notice next, not only famines, he says pestilences, and the word there in the language means unusual pestilence. Does COVID-19 ring a bell? You know, it's the first time we've had a worldwide event that everybody participated in. Again, remember, contractions and Braxton Hicks will be worldwide. This is the first time since World War II. The whole world has come together on anything like this. This worldwide contraction, this worldwide pestilence, this worldwide thing that's taking place. And again, it's something that, it's one of these things the Lord said is going to happen. You're going to be seeing more of this. Don't freak out when it happens. Trust God. As a matter of fact, it's now they're finding out, maybe you've seen some of these reports coming out, because of the lockdowns and all the masks that everyone were wearing, scientists now in Europe and even some here in America are saying, you know what, we made a big mistake. And this is not just the Christian scientists or those that, you know, believe the Bible. They're saying we made a mistake by having everybody mask up and everybody be locked down, because now what we're seeing is our immunity systems are down because we didn't allow ourselves to get sick and build up our immunity, especially in children. They're now finding numbers of children, hundreds in the UK are getting hepatitis. And now some in America, down in Alabama, some kids are getting hepatitis. They haven't been around anything where you normally would get hepatitis, like bad food or whatever the case might be. And some of them, and now in Europe, they're getting like multiple viruses at one time. Kids going to the hospital with three different active viruses at once. And their conclusion is, we didn't allow the kids to get each other sick, and now they have no defenses. The kids need to be in the places where they can all sneeze on each other and get healthy again. And that's the bottom line. We've broken down their immune defenses, and now they have to be built back up. There's going to be more of this kind of stuff happening in the last days. By the way, I do want to say this before we move on. You guys may have seen that the FDA just approved for the shot for kids 6 months to 5 years old. Moms and dads, listen to me. There is statistically 0% chance of your child dying from COVID in that age range. Zero. Go look it up. CDC will give you the numbers. This is not hard to find. By the way, do your own homework. Look these things up. Don't just believe what people wearing white coats with fallen brains tell you. Look it up. Think for yourself and say, do I want to give my child at 6 months to 5 years old, a shot that according now to either Pfizer or the CDC is increased myocarditis or heart inflammation in kids 25%. Do I want to give that to my child? I don't think so. So we're going to enter into more and more weirdness in the last day. So here's what God's going to require of us. We have to think and we have to pray. And we simply cannot just walk along with the crowd. You know, Christians are oftentimes accused of, you just walk along in the crowd. You're sheeple. And you just do everything you're told to do. You know what? The Christians are the only ones right now that have the ability to think and to see what's going on. Use your God-given brain and do your homework. Because the information and the stats are out there. Anyway, enough said on that. I had to say it. I feel a responsibility as your pastor. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not making doctor claims. I'm not giving you medical advice. So anyway, I'm just telling you reality. And notice lastly, and earthquakes in various places. Now, when it comes to earthquakes, it's interesting. You look at earthquakes. This one I decided to give you some stats on because I wanted you to see if we really are heading into the last days, and as the Lord said, it'll be like a woman in birth pangs increasing more and more, we should see what? An increase in intensity and numbers of earthquakes and all these other things. And you'll find it if you do your homework. But I want to just share an earthquake one with you. You can get this off of the U.S. Geological Survey. If you go to the U.S. Geological Survey website, you'll find magnitude, all the earthquakes around the world, the historical record, 7 point up and whatever. And here's my point. A lot of people say, well, we can detect more earthquakes now because we have greater seismic instruments and all. That's true. But I'm not talking about the tiny little things that nobody knows that the new technology is picking up. This is under the category major killer quakes. These are ones that everybody in the room is just hanging on, hoping they survive, okay? So when I read these numbers, these are the gigantic quakes that you don't need some little thing doing this up and down to tell you we're having an earthquake. I mean, you can figure that one out on your own. You're trying to survive, okay? 1890 to 1899, one. 1900 to 1909, one. 1910 to 1919, three. 1920 to 1929, two. And again, everything holds kind of steady right there. We begin to see a slight change starting in 1930. 1930, 1939, five. 1940 to 1949, four. Kind of holds constant. 1950 is when we begin to see the real change. 1950 to 1959, nine major killer quakes. 1960 to 1969, 13. 1970 to 1979, 56. 1980 to 1989, 74. 1990 to 2000, 125. And I couldn't find a number specifically on 2011 till now, but when I started glancing, just trying to count real quick, I didn't want to take the time. It appears that, and this is around the world yearly, understand. These are numbers around the world yearly, okay? It appears we are now having over 200 major killer earthquakes a year globally. There was one in 1890. Why? Because the Lord said, this is the beginning of sorrows. It's going to be like a woman in birth pangs. It's going to start out gradual. It's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And at some point, honey, it's time. Grab the luggage. Now, that doesn't mean we don't live life. The Bible said, Jesus said, occupy until I come. So don't just give up. Live life. Serve God. Do as much as you can for God until the Lord comes back. Let's have him come back finding us serving. How about that? And being about our Father's business, you know. And we'll let God tell. Is it going to be our lifetime? I don't know. It may not be. But it might be. And if you're worried, but I haven't got to live life. You got 1,000 years. Don't worry. 1,000 years is a long time to check out all the oceans and lakes and trips and all. You have plenty of time. Relax. And you're going to have a great feast beforehand. What a great way to start a great 1,000 years on the earth without any problems or troubles, having a giant feast for 7 years. I'm all in on that. And by the way, you'll all come back skinny. So anyway, trust the Lord. Don't be afraid. He told us prophecy so we wouldn't be afraid. I tell you what's going on, not to make you fearful, but to realize what he said is happening. Rejoice. Your redemption draws nigh. God is your protector. God is your provider. God is in control. God knew you would be born in this generation at this time. He's called you to right now for such a time as this. Live it out for his glory. And let's enjoy it. You know, it's interesting. When you get on a roller coaster and you ride the roller coaster, you see a lot of people do this. I don't because I'm generally terrified of them. But a lot of people, I can ride them now. But either way, a lot of you, they're because they know somebody's controlling it, right? Can you imagine, you know, being though you get on a train and something breaks free and you're going down this mountain with no one controlling it? Ah, it goes to ah, right? That's the difference in you and the world. The world's going to see all these things beginning to happen. And maybe if you don't know the Lord, you're doing that right now. You're going, ah, what's going to happen? Because you don't know the Lord. You don't have that security. You don't understand God's in control. It's not deep in your spirit. But for those of us who know him, we're on the ride just praising the Lord. Our hands are raised. And we're not scared. I don't care how fast it gets. I don't care what curves are. Oh, loop-de-loop. That's not bad. Jesus is running it, right? We're going to have more loop-de-loops, more control, praising the Lord. Let's continue to praise because his return is near. So don't be fearful. Be joyful.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Do you remember the day you discovered the kingdom of heaven when Jesus first called your name? Just like the disciples who dropped everything to follow him, you were ready right then to give up everything else in your life to be with Jesus. As Pastor Mark goes through Matthew in this series, think back to that first love and let the flame be rekindled. Put yourself into the story and drop your nets to follow the teacher who performs miracles. And then sit at his feet and learn how to love. We're so glad you've decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7. You can find our location at calvaryknoxville.org. And if you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net or just download the Way Media app. Well, we've come to the end of our time together for today, but Pastor Mark has much more to share as we go through the book of Matthew. So make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.